And it is Insight Wednesday, this February the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2013. I'm Tom Baker, your host today on Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. On Mondays, we do readings for the coming Sunday. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we bring a pastor for ruminations. Wednesdays, we have Insight Wednesday. And Friday, well, Open Mic Friday. Any question at all? We're going to start today, though, with items received from our listeners. Did you hear about the individuals who are able to contact or connect with dozens of well-known historical figures, including Gandhi, Abraham Lincoln, and Jesus of Nazareth? Wow. The article begins, "What would you give to be able to speak with a loved one who has passed away?" John and Martha McGinnis are ordinary people, they say. He's a retired lawyer who works at a large corporate law firm. She was educated at an Ivy League college and law school. Notice they don't give the locations for any of these. At any rate, they've had an interest in spiritual issues over the years, but have no special training in the field of psychic phenomena. In an effort to add credibility to the psychic reading process, they interviewed people who left some record of their thoughts and earthly process and their activities, which would allow comparison with their current statements. Now, that sentence doesn't make any sense. If these are people who are dead, how could they have interviewed them? I think what they meant to say, that they found out some record of their thoughts and earthly activities, which would allow comparison with their current statements that they get in psychic readings. Yes, these folks are part of the occult. At least they're unaware. I don't know if they're telling the truth with what they think they believe, but it's pretty clear from the Bible that who knows the activities of all ancestors that you have, and even though their words, demons. You see, you may think that you are talking, if the activity is really true, that they're hearing voices, but the voices would be of demons who were around when these people lived. That's why you get a comparison of similar items. Yes, there's no doubt about it. Probably one of the best books I ever read on this topic is by John Warwick Montgomery, Principalities and Powers. I'm sure it's still available. But he goes through and shows how the occult, if it is real that they're hearing voices and such, is none other than demons. God makes very clear that we cannot talk to the dead. Even Abraham doesn't know what's going on, according to the Bible. What I find interesting is they were able to talk to Gandhi, Abraham Lincoln, and Jesus of Nazareth. What, they think he's dead? And they have to use psychic phenomena? Jesus is alive and well. John and Martha, now listen to this, this is really funny. John and Martha are currently working on their second book, Straight Talk from Heaven. Oh, so they're writing another Bible? We have God's holy word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. The author of the Bible is not Moses or Matthew or Mark or Luke. They are the writers. The author of the Bible is none other than God himself. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the prophets and the apostles who wrote the Holy Scriptures wrote the thoughts of God. You don't have to open up a book made by these two unprofessionals to hear talk from heaven. And in fact, I guarantee you, it will be talk from hell. Psychic phenomena is not only contrary to the will of God, because it's working with the demons. Oh, just remember the lesson we had just not that long ago, where the demons and the man, they even confess that Jesus of Nazareth is Christ, and he tells them to be quiet. They're telling the truth. Why does he want them to be quiet? Well, there's kind of a tradition in those days, and to a great degree it still goes on today, that he who has the power of naming someone or using their name, that there is a relationship between them. Remember, we are always supposed to pray in the name of Jesus. And as we do that, that's because of the relationship that he is our brother. God is our father. We are part of the family of God. To use the name of Jesus is to use the greatest power on earth that we can use. For the demons, therefore, to name him, they had no relationship with Jesus. Therefore, there's always an ulterior motive on the part of demons to say the truth. And that's why you never listen to demons. In fact, in the Sunday school lesson, which we did on issues, etc., yesterday, on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father not only says, "This is my beloved Son," he also says, "Listen to him." And the point I was trying to get across for the Sunday school children is as they continue to grow up, and parents are really worried about this, they're going to go to a high school where they're probably going to run into evolution. They're going to go to colleges where a lot of women are having abortions. And they're going to get confused. And the point I was making is the way out of that confusion is to listen to Jesus. And the only place you can hear him is in the scriptures. Do not listen to that which is within you. You can't believe how many of us pastors run into people who think that they can go ahead and do sin because God is telling them within their heart that it's okay to do that. This is the work of the devil. This is the work of the old Adam, to get you to sin against the will of God because you think Jesus is telling you this? This is impossible. If it contradicts the word of God. And so the point I was making, what do you say to somebody who's giving false teaching? You only have one thing you need to say. Show me the Bible verse. Show me the Bible verse. And if they are a false teacher, there will be no Bible verse. I mean, I've had people say, "Well, I don't have a Bible verse, but you know God is just like that." Oh, really? So now you make God in your own image? You think God thinks like you? If he did, he never would have sacrificed himself on the cross for his enemies. If there's one thing you learn from the Bible, God's thinking is most uncommonsensical. It just doesn't jive with human reason in the sense of trying to use your reason to figure God out. You will never figure God out. But he has figured us out. And that's why it's really important that God comes in and provides us with information. You want to talk to your relatives who have died and say have gone to heaven? You will, after Judgment Day. Until then, you will only be talking to demons if you hear any voices. So that's the first insight. There is no such thing as psychic phenomena that can really get to those who have died. And you only have to read a little bit of these people to understand how far off they are. The idea that they're going to write a second book, straight talk from heaven, and it's not going to be the Bible. Only the scriptures provide straight talk from heaven. Nobody else does. In fact, we're living in an age right now where even preachers who are supposed to be talking things from heaven aren't doing so. And that's the next article I'd like to move to. But before I do so, I'll give out the phone numbers if you want to talk about either one of these subjects, 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. I have in my hands the Lenten message for the year 2013 from the Episcopalian Church presiding bishop, Catherine Jefferts Shorey. And guess what? Yeah, you're right, it's a woman. So I just begin with the assumption that because she is a woman pastor, she already disagrees with the Bible, and therefore there's no way that she's going to give a consistent message. Now this is a message about Lent. She begins by wishing you a blessed Lent. Now, if you were going to be talking about Lent, what would you be talking about? Let's say you're a leader in the church, and it's not at all unusual that other people write devotions. You don't have to be a pastor to write a devotion. One of my good friends, Gary Quick, who's written some of the best devotions, Lamb and Sheep, they're tremendous. You can get that book at www.lawgospel.com. So it's not impossible for somebody to write a devotion. Now, if you're writing a devotion about Lent, and you're getting prepared for the Lenten season, and you want your people prepared, what are you going to talk about? Well, I should say, who are you going to talk about? You're going to talk about Jesus Christ. Lent is all about his passion. But let me give you a couple of hints. When you're talking to a woman pastor, because she has already disagreed with the Bible and taken upon herself what she thinks is a pastor, when she really isn't in God's eyes, she therefore is thinking far more about herself and her views than thinking about God and Holy Scripture. This is a full page, 8.5 by 11, and I think it's even in smaller type than 12 Romans 12. But be that as it may, time Romans 12, I mean, all I can say is the word Jesus never appears in the whole devotion. Now, I'm not saying women pastors don't sometimes say the word Jesus. Yes. Yes, sometimes they can, but often it is as an example or one we're to follow. This is all about, in a sense, following the example of God. Yeah, I think the word God is mentioned once, but that's about it. The only time the word Jesus is mentioned is in the first paragraph. Listen to this. Lent is the ancient season of preparation for baptism at the Easter Vigil, and it's a season of solidarity with those who are being formed to be disciples of Jesus and missionaries in God's mission. Solidarity. Okay, all of a sudden we've moved out of the spiritual realm into the political realm. So what are we going to be talking about? Well, listen to what she says. We form people in the sense that God dreams of a healed world, a world restored to peace with justice. And some of the ancient images of that healed world are those of the prophets. I don't remember that God ever says that we're going to be living here on earth in a healed world. Instead, he says there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, you're always going to have the poor with you, you're going to be persecuted. Where is she coming from? Lent is a time when we pray, when we fast, when we study, when we give alms. It's a time of solidarity, and it's particularly a time to be in solidarity with the least of these. Oh, okay. You see, this is what happens in liberal theology. that Jesus really was in solidarity with the poor. And they do mean the poor in money. They tend to forget about Joseph of Arimathea, a very rich man, Abraham, who was the richest man probably of his time. This is really quite ridiculous. Jesus was in solidarity with sinners. And that solidarity continued. And it didn't matter if the sinner was poor or rich. He was willing to talk to anybody. Now, are you ready for this? This is the theme of the whole Lenten devotion. As you prepare for your Lenten season and your Lenten discipline, I'd encourage you to think about consciousness in eating. What? And the rest of the article is about what are you eating? With whom are we eating? In other words, I don't know how you move from the cross of Christ during Lent and making sure you're eating the right food, but this woman pastor achieved it. Your and my preparation for the great Easter festival can be an act of solidarity with the least of these. As you engage this Lent, I would encourage you to pray, to fast, to act in solidarity with those who go without. Learn more, give alms, share what you have. Be conscious about what you eat. That's the last word in the devotion before the sign-off, which is a blessed, blessed Lent this year. And you wonder why the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is against the ordination of women? You see, any woman who's ordained has to be following the will of Satan, because ordination is not permitted for a woman. Therefore, you ought not be surprised when they write, they write things that are satanic. Oh, am I saying there is never a woman pastor who ever wrote a good article? No. I'm not saying that. I mean, every blind squirrel finds nuts sometimes. But the fact of the matter, when you see a woman pastor, you are seeing someone who is acting contrary to the Word of God, because she has usurped for herself an office that God did not intend for her to have. But we're living in an age when many of the women pastors, for example, in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and you know that's a really liberal Lutheran church that probably isn't even Lutheran anymore from our point of view, at least our convention adopted a resolution indicating that they don't have a problem with lesbian pastors, homosexual pastors, women pastors having abortions, that's okay in that church. That's how far they have fallen from the Word of God. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phone lines. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Brian.
Brian, go ahead.
You know,
I hate somebody who's in support of woman pastors calling me, but go ahead, Brian.
Wrong, Brian. The test that you give usually when you have these things is you ask. I'd ask this pastor. I'd say, "What's about the Jesus test? What is the difference between what she wrote there and what an atheist could write?" A humanist organization, a Buddhist, a Hindu, you know, just take your pick of any other kind of civic organization around the world. There's nothing distinguishing that between that and a Christian.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct about that.
This is Lent. You're talking about a Christian observance. You know, where's the Christianity?
Yeah, there is none. No, you're correct, and you know, there's only two religions in the world, Christianity and everything else. And everything else is based on your works and on your behavior. And, you know, they're talking always a lot more about how a Christian should act rather than Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? The word Jesus only appears once, and that's even in the wrong context.
I saw someone talking about modern Christianity around the United States, and this person referred to it as the great conspiracy is that you cannot mention the name of Jesus.
Yes. Yeah, it depends what area of the world you're in, but there's just no doubt that there's a lot of problems Christians are going to be having, especially when we start standing up for the will of God in those areas where even the administration of the United States is contrary to the will of God in regard to gay marriage, abortion. This God's not going to sit back and let this go on.
No, I just, it's, and people are actually leaving these churches. You read about it in the papers all the time.
Well,
I don't see a reason for being Christian.
Right. I'm kind of proud of the folks who are Episcopalian or affiliated with this church in Africa. They're telling women like her to shape up, to get your act together, and start being faithful to God rather than to Satan. And they're not mincing words.
The people who are not supposed to be sophisticated and knowledgeable as this pastor is, just to have people who are just brand new to the faith to explain them what the faith is again. It's incredible.
Yeah, because they now recognize where they were and what Christianity now is. And then when they hear these false teachers giving this garbage out for Lent about you got to be careful what you eat, you know.
The difference, the Luther, you know, you refer to the, like, the Lutheran difference. That's the thing, too. Read the theology, read the Bible, you know, and understand what there is a difference. That's the reason why there is Christianity, and it's not like everything else, you know. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. Nobody is like everybody else.
That's right. It's not that Christians don't think that gluttony, alcoholism, etc., that they're good things. No, you should try not to follow that kind of a lifestyle. But is that the meaning of Lent? I mean, this woman who's the head of the Episcopalian Church has an opportunity in 2013 to talk about what Lent is, and not once is the cross of Jesus Christ mentioned.
Right. I mean, I'd read that and I'd respond to her saying, okay, this all sounds very good. Why are we doing this?
Yes. Yeah, good point. Good point.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you for calling. I'm Tom Baker. Our numbers here are 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727, although we're almost out of time. Not going to be able to get to my third issue, but that's fine. The first one was about psychic phenomena, as though we can contact the dead. I mean, this is contrary to God's word. Remember when King Saul did that? You know, and then he ended up committing suicide? This is what happens when you veer away from the will of God. And then when you have a caller on and are talking about the big thing about Lent, and I'll read her last sentence in the devotion again, just in case you missed it. Be conscious about what you eat. Now, actually, I could write an article about Lent dealing with that. That could be the title, Be Conscious About What You Eat. But what I'd be talking about is the Lord's Supper. Be conscious that this preparation for the Lord's Supper includes an awareness of your deep sin and your unworthiness in receiving the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's about being conscious of what you eat. And also, this wonderful gift of the Lord's Supper is not only good for your spiritual self, but also for your soul, your body. So that what we're talking about here is a gift from God you don't deserve, a gracious gift coupled with baptism. So you can talk about the great Easter festivals, you can talk in general terms about Lent, but if you think that the meaning of Lent is being careful about what you eat, now sometimes people fast, that's not inappropriate, because fasting helps us to realize all the gifts we have that really we don't deserve. A lot of times we just eat without really thinking about it. And so fasting is a good practice. But that isn't the essence of Lent. We just went through the essence of Epiphany, where the Epiphany Sundays are revealing who he is, namely the Christ, the Son of God, human and divine. Now we move into Lent, which has one theme, and that's revealing not who he is as much as what he did to save you. And in that salvation comes the greatest good news, and it's not be careful what you eat. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow on Ruminations Thursday, we're going to have our good friend with us, Wes Reimnitz. We're going to try and get to a number of issues. Email asked if all unbaptized babies go to hell. There's also a question, how far should you go in engaging in conversation with those with whom we disagree? We're going to give you some tips from two pastors, and we hope that you join us tomorrow. Until then, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.